And hello, everybody. This is Patricia Corey, and you've tuned in to Beyond the Matrix, the radio program that asks, dares, implores you to think outside the box of convention. And every 2 weeks now, it used to be every week, we do just that on this show, breaching subjects all from extraterrestrial life, controversy, can't call them theories anymore, we'll call them controversial issues, conspiracy issues, health, echo, everything that I really believe matters at this time in our evolutionary speedway through the galaxy. And one of these issues for me, I think anyone who knows me or reads me will agree most wholeheartedly that at the foreground of my concern is water. The water of the planet, the water in our bodies, the consciousness in water, something that we simply can no longer take for granted. And I think we're starting to wake up to that. We've had help from several brilliant people, and Dr. Emoto, of course, comes to mind. And I think it's time to start talking about pragmatic, practical things we can do to the water that we drink. Aside from the whole subject of the water in the oceans and what we need to do to help the planet, it's now very urgent to start thinking about storing water, healing water, energizing water, filtering water, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. So before I get to my guests, I would like to just make a couple of announcements. I'm just back from the Azores. I want to thank everyone who joined me swimming with the dolphins and sailing with the great whales, and let me remind you that if water is the subject, unquestionably, this involves them too. Please, 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 please give generously to some of the greater organizations that are trying to save the whales and dolphins. And don't forget, a cup of cappuccino a week sent to the Sea Shepherds or Blue Voice or any other that you prefer can make a difference. So please give that some consideration. And I also want to remind you that the Egypt journey in November is almost full. We've got 12 places left. So if you're sitting on the fence about that, don't wait much longer because you won't find a place. Give me a buzz, info@syrianrevelations.net, and I'll fill you in on all the details on that. And all right, here we go. I would like to introduce my first two guests. We're going to have a forum today, and I'm bringing in two authors and activists for the water. One is named MJ Pangman, and the other, her associate, is Melanie Martin. And together they've written a book called Dancing with Water. And their website, in fact, is dancingwithwaterw.com. So I'm going to have them on at the beginning. And then a little bit, few minutes into the show, I'll be bringing in another expert, Rohan Bedford, who's got a company called Vortical Dynamics. He'll be talking about the Vortex Energizer. So tell your friends, grab a seat, and let's blow the lid off of everything that has to do with taking care of our water, our bodies, and our spirit. Okay, let's start out. Hi, MJ and Melanie.
Hi, Patricia.
Hi.
Okay, first voice was MJ, second voice is Melanie. Thank you for being on my show.
You're welcome, Patricia. We are. We're excited to be on the show today.
It's wonderful to have you on. I thank you. I know that you've also endorsed my book Before We Leave You, which I really appreciate. And so I really want people to come to your site and find out what you're doing. But we need to hear from you firsthand. Tell us a little bit, for starters, about your backgrounds. Let's start with MJ. What is your background and what brought you to writing this book, Dancing with Water?
Patricia, a number of years, I'm a writer, mostly freelance in the field of complementary medicine for many years. And probably 8-9 years ago, I was introduced to the whole subject of structuring water or revitalizing water, bringing it back to its liquid crystalline state, which is its normal, perfect, optimal, full-spectrum state. And I became so enamored with the subject that I put most of everything aside and have spent the last 8-9 years very deeply involved in the study of water from a scientific standpoint, and in the last several years from a more spiritual standpoint. And that really, you know, let's let that introduce Melanie, because that's where she comes in as an intuitive. She brings an interesting other depth to the work that we put together in Dancing with Water.
So is your background more from a technical scientific point of view?
Technically, yes. I have a master's degree in plant science.
Wow.
Which gives me enough background to kind of get into some of the literature and up to understand some of it and bring that all together. So I have some chemistry and some quantum physics and over the years just an understanding of the dynamics of water. And, you know, Patricia, that what we know about water is just a drop in the ocean. And what water is just huge. And we're beginning to understand that, especially as we explore the spiritual nature of water and the energetics of water that really have not been looked at from a scientific, hard scientific standpoint.
Yeah, it's very exciting that science and spirit are merging on so many areas, including water, which is timely considering the state of emergency on the planet. Melanie, what about you? Tell us about your spirituals and psychic, well, let's go with spiritual understanding of the structure of water and the crystalline nature and memory of water.
Okay, well, I've been studying nature the moment I came to this planet. I've always, as a child and as you know, as I was growing up, I spent most of my time with the streams around where I used to live and the mountains, and I loved it when my parents took me to the beach, the ocean in California, Washington and Oregon, and I've always felt connected to the elements of this incredibly beautiful planet, and I've always felt some kind of life force in the water. And, you know, as a child, I didn't really understand, but I just knew it was there. I felt it. And then when I met MJ and she started sharing with me all of these things that she had learned about water, I became fascinated, too, and, you know, followed along with what she was doing and finding out. And we found a hot springs in Idaho that we would travel. She would travel hundreds of miles, and we would go up and get the water straight from the source because we felt that this water had so much life force and was such a pure, non-polluted and program-free, you know, from all the stuff that the humans have done, because it came from 2 miles down in the earth and it came up. And we love this water, but sadly, because of where we are in Idaho, there's a nuclear, don't say that, there's a lab there that where they make nuclear reactors, and there's a lot of agricultural stuff, so the water started slowly getting inundated with that. So we haven't been there for a while, but that place, you know, still holds a special place in our hearts because of the water. It was so beautiful when we first started getting it. And then MJ asked me to help her write a book, and she, you know, explained that she wanted the scientific part, and then asked me to use my intuitive abilities to help her with the spiritual part and the energetic part of water, and that's how, and I just, oh, I said yes right away. I was like, oh, I was so excited. And we have learned so much, and there's still more to learn, but we have learned so much on this journey.
Well, give us a little insight into what your book is about. MJ.
Patricia, the book is called Dancing with Water, The New Science of Water. And as I mentioned and as we're kind of discussing here, water has a liquid crystalline state when it's allowed to, when it's pollution-free, when it's allowed to move. And so that liquid crystalline state, interestingly enough, is the state of the water in a healthy human being. We, of course, also are liquid crystals, and water is the key to our health and vitality. So if we can find ways to return the liquid crystalline molecular structure, and don't let that scare anybody, water will organize itself into a repeating geometry that we're referring to here as a liquid crystal. And with that repeating geometry, it has the capacity to transmit signals and information at the speed of light or faster, in the now. That's what makes a crystal so important in our computer technology. It's what changed the whole world when crystalline technology was incorporated in radio communications, because signals were faster, cleaner, quicker, and everything changed. So we're turning water into this liquid crystal, which now has the capacity to move information and signals within the human body as well as within plants and across the planet. And the crystal, of course, is the key to our future. It's what we are becoming more and more. So the new science of water is, how do we create this liquid crystalline form? How do we use it? How do we program it? And what kind of differences can it make in our health and vitality?
What do you mean by we are becoming more and more crystalline?
Well, as part of our shift on the planet, we, as well as everything else, are making changes at the level of the DNA. And that's another interesting point as well. When the first computer simulations were done with water and DNA, they put all of the molecules of DNA together and in a computer simulation and let the DNA spin, and it fell apart in the simulation. The only way they could support the DNA helix was with structured water incorporated into the simulation. And water supports our DNA. Water, this liquid crystalline structure of water, is found around healthy DNA. And interestingly enough, less structured, not crystalline water is found surrounding unhealthy, cancerous, diabetic cells. So very interesting. We are changing as a human race. And I think Melanie might offer some insight on that front as well, as far as us becoming a liquid crystal.
Okay. I just want to ask you to be careful. Your voice is going loud and then softer, loud and then softer. So please be careful not to be moving in and away from your microphone. That might be causing it.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. So, yeah, indeed, the question of clustered or structured water is what I really wanted to talk about today, from the spiritual side, but also from the technical side, because a lot of people don't really understand what structured water is. And I certainly, this is a very big part of what I'm doing in my work with DNA activation with people. And I would really like to know that what comes out in your book as far as innovative or even avant-garde information following what we've gotten from Masaru Emoto about the crystalline structure of water. In fact, I marvel at the fact that in Masaru's work, we see water from the most devastated environments always attempting nonetheless to return to that perfected form. And it's such an archetype of the spirit, of soul, of each of us, that despite whatever negativity or whatever pollution we bring into our own experience, inevitably we're all climbing up the spiral trying to return to source, to perfection. So I love that water is a metaphor for our own experience. And I would love you to share a little bit more about your perception of that concept. Melanie.
Well, I learned all this from MJ about the structure of water. It's maybe she better explain it, because she does it so well. She wrote another book besides the one that we worked on about structured water, and it's very scientific, and I love the way she explains it. It's beautiful.
Well, she wants you to talk, and you want her to talk. What's a girl to do here?
Well, I want the person that knows how to explain it the best.
You know what, Patricia, I'm going to pick up on that. And you mentioned the spiral of life, and that's kind of a theme through your Syrian revelations. The spiral is the key to life. Back and forth, and especially we see that with water. one of the things that we did try to do in the book was to help people understand the tools that they can use to bring the life and the structure back to water, because really they're one and the same. You bring the structure back to the water and you bring back its life force. And then we also use a term in the book called full spectrum living water. Once you bring back the structure to the water, you need to give it the full spectrum of frequencies that are found in the ocean and in the cosmos and in our patterns in nature. So everything contributes in nature to full spectrum living water. One of the ways that we can renew the liquid crystalline state of water is using that spiral. Water will always, when it's allowed to, move in a spiraling pattern, one way and then back the other way. The spiral we've identified in the book as nature's way of gathering energy. And so everything from us ascending the spiral of life to the water being able to return to that spiral of life, the vortex or the spiral gathers cosmic frequencies. It allows the water then to be able to hold information that then can be transmitted to life all over the planet.
And it also has geometric shape, isn't it? A hexagonal shape, you know, as Dr. Emoto has shown us. But within the water, there is hexagonal shapes that connect with each other and form these beautiful matrices of crystalline energy. And that's something that I learned really a long time ago from MJ, and we've been using the first structured water that came out by Dr. Lorenzen. And I felt so much difference from just using that water in my body. I could tell that it was changing the water in my own body.
Are you talking about the drops that he came out with when he was working with Dr. Emoto?
Yeah.
Yeah, for people that don't know about that, this is a very interesting story. Dr. Lorenzen's wife was a woman who was diagnosed with cancer, and he was in such despair. And in that despair, he was doing research with Dr. Masaru Emoto, who so many of you know. And he developed these... the technology completely escapes me, and they've kept it pretty, not secret, but let's say patented. But they found a way to create highly concentrated drops, what they called cellular water, which when put into a quantity of pure water, would imprint the water with the vibrations of that essence that had been put through some sort of spiral mechanism that they had developed. And he cured her of cancer, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that it was cancer, but they both were sick.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was cancer, and I didn't know that he was sick too, but they both healed, right?
Correct.
Yes.
Okay, that's what I love to hear. All righty, well, listen, I'm going to bring in an expert, and we're going to have, this is going to be interesting for the audience. We're going to be having a four-way conversation here. And honoring each other so that we try not to interrupt each other. Bear with us when there are those moments where we might have an awkward poise, pause or run over, because I'm attempting to do something with more than one guest. So we'll be bringing in now, my producer is reaching Roland Bedford, who is another expert about water. Hello, is that you, Rohan? Hello?
Hello.
Hi, Rohan. I'm just introducing you.
Hello?
Yeah, Don, please check.
Just one second.
Okay. Let me, Rohan, you keep your voice down for a minute as I'm introducing you at the moment. Rohan Bedford is someone who is a director of a company called Vortical Dynamics, the company that makes the coils that we've been talking about and the device that acts as an antenna which draws energy from the ethers. And he and thank you, Dale, if you're listening, for introducing me to Rohan. Can you hear me, Rohan?
Yes, hi there.
Hi there. Thank you for coming on. We've started our conversation. We're talking about a subject that I think we're pretty much all on the same page, and that is discussing the consciousness of water, I'm particularly interested in helping people come away from this show with very specific information about what the next step is. In other words, let's talk about it. Let's talk about the consciousness. We've got the Emoto concept. I think so many, many, many people have learned from him. But what's the next step? What can people do, not only to purify the water that they're drinking, but to actually energize it and draw in that etheric energy that is altering the consciousness of the water? Please share with us some of your ideas about the work that you're doing, Rohan.
Yes, hello. I hope you can hear me all right.
I hear you great. Can you hear me?
That's fine, yes. Well, I've been listening to the program with great interest. Good evening, ladies.
Hello.
I don't know if they can hear me. Anyway, coming back to the beginning, first and foremost, I must point out I don't make the coils. I don't make the spirals. But I've been researching water now since 97.
Uh-huh.
And it came to me because I had a number of friends that had health issues, shall we say. And I'd been traveling in Asia for many years and knew how important water was. And one of my friends introduced to me a device that that made water taste fresher and more alive right in front of my eyes.
And what device was that?
Well, this was an ionic device that obviously sent a vibrational charge or a frequency into the water, like a tuning fork, if you like, to realign.
We've got Rohan shorting out.
Fine.
Rohan, hold on.
Allowed to balance.
Rohan, we've got a problem with your connection. Yeah. I'm going to ask Dawn to call you back because you're shorting out and we're only getting a few parts of your speech. So, Dawn, if you could please try that again, I'd appreciate it. And while we're waiting for Rohan to come back on, let's get back with MJ for a moment. In the book, MJ, do you present various methodologies for people to that people can use to alter the quality of the water they're bringing into their bodies?
Yes, Patricia. In fact, that was one of our main purposes, was to make it simple for people. You know, there are patented technologies, even you mentioned Dr. Lorenzen's, but it's not complicated. It's just a matter of understanding a few dynamics and a few of the pieces of the nature of water, and then you can combine several forces. And there are so many ways to return the structure to water that a big portion, actually the book is designed to have two parts. The front end discusses the nature of water and each of these things that are necessary in order to return the life force and the consciousness back to water. And then part two is kind of we call it a dance guide. And it's the steps to the dance. Here are a variety of things you can do to bring in the vortex, to put the salts back into water, to create organizing energy using frequencies, small, tiny electromagnetic fields. All of these things, when you gather them together, and there's so many ways, it's from things that are as simple as incorporating the minerals in nature, the rocks and the stones in nature, the salts from the ocean. Those, when you gather them together, it's very simple to return the life force to water. And so, yes, that's kind of the purpose of the book. Here's how to do it.
Let me just finish one question, Melanie.
Okay.
MJ, how do you bring salt into the water to make it more conscious and still drinkable?
We have identified, and there are many more that we haven't really identified, but we've identified several ocean salts, from Himalayan salt, things
yes.
as simple as that, to Celtic salt, to real salt that's available in this country, and something that's known as Kintal marine plasma, which some of your audience may be familiar with. It's a therapeutic solution from a plankton bloom that is harvested regularly, as supplying not just the salts, but many nutrients that are critical in the ocean, supplied by the plankton, and the energy in a plankton bloom, which, interestingly enough, is a vortex. So we've identified a number of different ways to bring the salts back into water and told people how to make and energize these solutions before they put them in their water.
And I imagine these are very inexpensive methodologies, more or less.
You know, really, that's true. Everything from as simple as making a saturated salt solution with an unprocessed salt like Himalayan salt to something that is a little bit more expensive, like the Kintal Marine Plasma, which is produced pharmaceutically, therapeutically.
All right. What do you say to that, Rohan? I see you're back on.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Oh, great. Well, that was very interesting what was just said. Essentially the most important aspect of restructuring and energizing water is bringing it back to nature, right?
Right.
So, as we were just talking about salt, even a tiny amount of unrefined sea salt that has all the trace minerals of the ocean, because it's a salt is a concentrate from a dilute of water, if you put a tiny amount into a large amount of water, it will pass on its imprint or its signature.
Which, of course, is a crystalline structure. Therefore, it's imprinting the water with the information of that structure, the natural structure.
Absolutely. And, coming on to that again about how we can improve the water that we drink at home, I've got a lot of people in the UK that they put their water in large bottles and they go and put them in the forest. And I call that birdsong water.
They put them in the forest?
Or they put their water outside into nature to pick up the vibration.
That's wonderful. So then what you're talking about is the frequencies of music and sound altering the consciousness of the water.
That is so, because water is very subtle and it's very imprintable. It's very, because it's like a magnetic substance, it will pick up information, negative, and, of course, positive information.
And it's so important, as we're talking about this, to remind people that you are 80%, your body is 80% water. So if you keep sending in negative thought patterns, these patterns are imprinted within your body. And so, of course, they mirror...
Well, yes, that as well, Patricia. And don't forget that because we are predominantly water, it's very important to obviously put in the best that we can into our bodies to raise our vibration. That vibration is imprinted through each cell in our body. Of course, that raises the health potential of each cell within our body.
So I've got three people who, let's say four, I've done my homework too, who know quite a lot about water. And what does each of you say as to your preferred method for enhancing and purifying and energizing water at this moment in your knowledge? Let's start with Melinda. Sorry, Melanie.
Oh, I have so many different ways because we've been experimenting and finding different ways that people could use their water. But at the moment right now, I love to put my water outside, as Rohan talked about. I love to let it. In fact, I put it by some flowers so it'll pick up the bee sounds because the buzz of the bees has a very particular vibration, and that's really my favorite water. But I also put it on paramagnetic sands. I use crystals. We do a thing what we call we stir the water because water loves movement. And movement also releases negative programs in the water. And that's why we named our book Dancing with Water, because water loves to dance. If you sit by a stream and you watch it go down the rocks, it's dancing. It's just dancing over the rocks and dancing down the stream. And that energizes and gives life to the water. And so anything that we've been finding that emulates nature and lets water be as natural as it possibly can is what I love to use to energize my water after it, of course, it's cleaned and purified.
And what do you say, MJ, to the question of, that's all well and good, I'll be the devil's advocate here for a moment, but what about the fact that they are putting chemicals and pollutants, and now I hear lithium is being added to the water to subdue the population. So as energizing and wonderful as these suggestions are, what about that problem?
Thanks for asking the question, because what we say in the book is you have to start with a clean canvas. And so the subject, that's not really the subject matter of our book, but we have to address that and say you've got to start with something that's clean. And so obviously filtration and purification methods, and there are dozens of them, but we have written a chapter in the book that addresses this to a certain extent, saying, you know, part of learning to dance with the water is getting to understand the water that's available to you. And so there are certain methodical things that you need to do and that in order to understand your water, which is different and unique from other water anywhere else on the planet that's available, tap into the tests that are done at your municipal facility or get your well water tested, whatever your source is. But determine the nature of the contaminants and the pollutants, and then find some kind of a filtration or purification system that removes those specific contaminants to start with. Then, of course, the next process is, as Melanie mentioned, removing the energetic or vibrational pollution. And we address that in greater degree in some of the things in the books. There are many methods, but moving water is one of them. So, I mean, right up front, you do have to take out the contaminants, and you do have to remove the vibrational pollutants, and then you've got a clean canvas with which you can begin putting structure back, life force, and programs that will heal your specific body.
Thank you. That's very valid information. Ron, what do you say to that? You know, we've got one of my pet concerns is fluoride in the water. Fluoridation is rampant now, I think, around the world. And, oops, looks like we've lost Rowan again. Let's go back to you, MJ. Oh, there he is. Boy, you're in and out, Rowan. We're having a little hard time keeping you on the air. I was asking you.
I'm in here.
Okay, great. I'm asking you.
Yeah, well, we... All right, well, I heard that. And that was very interesting what MJ just said and Melanie as well. Yeah, I mean, we live in a vortex, right? So spinning water helps it to return back to its primordial source. Now, I energize water. At the moment, I'm using, I've always used Jurassic amber in my water, because that's when water was so natural all over the planet. I use Herkimer diamonds because they hold a very high vibration. I have those in my water bottle all the time.
Yes.
And essentially, you know, you can. There are ways. I mean, although filtration does take out larger particles in water, it still keeps water lifeless, because when water travels through straight pipes under pressure, it can't move naturally, so it becomes lifeless. So spinning it, vortexing it, all extremely important for water. Ionically charge my water using a device developed by Nikola Tesla. Now, water, provided it contains any minerals or salts, is a perfect carrier for electrical waves and fields, and potentially it has its own electromagnetic field around it. Power lines lose electricity during transmission, but electricity penetrates the outer layer of the earth, and of course it is attracted to the minerals and salts in underground water. So the minerals and salts, etc., in city water pipes together.
Rowan, unfortunately, your voice is going in and out. We're going to have to say goodbye to you, because we just cannot keep a clear link with you. So thank you for your contribution. But I think Don will have to give up on that effort to have Rowan speaking with us because of the bad connection. So, all right. So we agree that water has consciousness, water holds memory, water can be energized to raise its life essence, but I am still concerned about some of the issues that are that we're facing now, and I want to get political here because it's just what I do. What are we doing about fluoride in the water? What are we doing about the latest news about lithium being added to the water? And where do we go from there? Where, MJ, can we find filtration units that actually eliminate fluoride in the water? Is this possible now?
It is, but it's one of the more difficult contaminants to remove because it's such a small molecule. One of the things that we have recommended is gravity filtration. There are two basic methods to remove fluoride from water, and some of them can be very expensive, using large containers to remove the fluoride. But gravity filtration is very similar to the way the Earth filters water. And so the water very slowly percolates through a number of layers of filtration media. And that's kind of our preferred method as far as getting fluoride out, because it's about contact time. Bone char and another method that is escaping me right now will both draw fluoride out of the water. The gravity filtration is one that's, you know, economically feasible for most people, but we do have to remember that filters get clogged, and that's people's biggest problem is not changing their filters often enough. So there are gravity systems out there that do provide fluoride filtration methods and a slow contact time that will draw like 99% of the fluoride out of the water, and that's pretty darn good under our circumstances today.
That's very good. And are you aware of the lithium situation?
I'm not, so I'm going to
I've heard of it, and there's also all the pharmaceutical drugs that aren't filtered out through, you know, the regular municipal water. We've got hundreds of pharmaceutical drugs going through our waterways and back into our systems too. So these gravity filters help with that, and also that's where the energetically clearing the water comes in. We have, it's like the pharmaceuticals are now in a homeopathic state, and we can change that with our energy, with the different vibrations, the methods that we've developed to change that and release that from the water now and change the memory. So, yeah, there's a lot of negative vibrations that are being carried through our water. So fluoride and lithium, you know, yeah, that's a big one, but I've heard in the larger cities, especially in the United States, the pharmaceuticals is a big problem.
About a year ago, I read a report of 15 major cities in the U.S., and the drug quantities of water, drugs in the water, pharmaceuticals in the water, was beyond shocking, beyond dangerous. Including everything from antidepressants to sleeping medications. And, you know, of course, one has to question if it's deliberate or not. But certainly the latest information about lithium being added to the water, and what I read about this was that this was to help prevent people who are contemplating suicide. This was the excuse for dumping lithium into the drinking water. And people need to wake up to this and understand that some very shady stuff is going on.
Well, you know, lithium will occur naturally in water. There's a hot spring south of me here that's got a lot of lithium in it naturally, because there's lithium. It's a salt, and it comes. I live north of the Great Salt Lake, and there's a lot of lithium in those salts. And people go to that hot springs that have, you know, mental disorders and problems because it makes them feel better because of the lithium. So lithium is a natural salt, but we don't need to add it. I mean, it's not necessary to add, you know, lithium into the waterway and into our water and have it go out into all of our waterways.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know about natural lithium. I do not claim to be educated to that, but I certainly don't want a government putting the drug into the drinking supply to anesthetize the population. What do you people think about that? I'd like to see, get you to call in. You've got two experts here, and it looks like Rohan might be coming back on. So here are the call-free numbers. 888, this is U.S. and Canada, toll-free, 888-815-9756. Actually, it's only one number. Let me give it to you again. 888-815-9756, or you can see the number on BBS Station 1 on the website that you are listening to the show on. You've got some interesting people here with a lot of knowledge, so please call in if you want to make comments, if you want to ask questions. Let's talk about water. And I've got Rohan signaling me here. We're going to try to get his voice back on one more time, saying that fluoride was used in mind control in prisons in Germany and in Victorian prisons. And more is coming out about fluoride. For goodness sakes, folks, if you're still using, for example, dental, what do we call it? Dental toothpaste, there it is, with fluoride in it, it's time you got your mind clear that this is extremely bad for you. It creates a powder around your pineal gland that calcifies the gland. And it turns out, lo and behold, it's creating more dental problems in the children than when before they were using it. So, I wonder what that's about. Let's talk about it. Call in. And let's see, Don, if we try again, because I know Rowan's listening. Let's give it one more attempt if you're there, and we can see if we can get it back up with us. So what do you suggest, MJ? Do you really think that the mind and the energizing techniques that you discuss can override the toxin of deliberately poisoning the water or simply eco disasters that are in the water?
I do, and I think that we as a human race are finally coming to the place where we're going to realize how powerful we really are. I'm going to draw attention to something that we are doing on a quarterly basis. We've sponsored meditations for the water, and every quarter, our last one was at the solstice, we have sponsored a meditation. It's available online for people to participate with us. They hold a crystal, send their love and blessings into that crystal during the guided meditation. And it's intended that that crystal be placed in a body of water somewhere on the planet. We have people all over the world placing these crystals with their love and blessings into the water because, yes, we can, when we get it, we can come together in ways that are as simple as that, to raise the vibration of the water, which cancels out and neutralizes many pollutants just like that, if we gather together as a global community. And that really is where we are placing a big focus right now. That's why we loved reading your book recently, Before We Leave You. We cried and we said, what can we do? And this is something we can do. Connect with the water. Send love and blessings to the water on a regular basis. Yes, we can make a difference.
Yeah, thank you for that mention of the book. There's a chapter called You Are Our Hope, where the whales and dolphins speak about the importance of the human race taking the reins now and raising the consciousness of the particularly of planet ocean, which we see is unquestionably under attack. And I truly believe that we have the numbers and we have the soul link around this planet to neutralize what's being done. But obviously, there has to be an immense response. The book is, people are telling me they're deeply saddened in parts of that book, and yet they're empowered to take action. And so hooray for that, because that is the message from the whales and dolphins in that book, Before We Leave You, which I hope you all will read. And I've just come back from being with them and seeing the magnificence of the ocean. You know, people really, it's a beautiful planet. We are going to save this planet. So get to work. get to work on yourselves, get to work in your communities, and get to work for planet Earth, because it doesn't have to, we don't have to allow and accept the perpetual bombardment of the ecosystems when we know that higher consciousness can alter and shift the reality. Aho to that. Are you back with us, Ruthven?
Can you hear me now?
Oh, yay, there you are. Yes, we hear you again.
Okay, well, sorry I keep cutting out.
Yeah, it's okay. I got your message about, you were talking about fluoride can be detoxed using clay and rare earth minerals. Would you share your insights on that?
Yeah, well, when the body absorbs water, of course, the minerals or the toxins are stored in the body rather than being passed through us. So making water more colloidal assists all the pollutants to flush through our body rather than be embedded in us. So there are ways to clear the digestive tract of toxic chemicals using clay and rare earth minerals.
And how do we do that? Is there a site where people can investigate your information about these ideas?
Well, I'm putting another website together. It should be finished within about a week. But you can look at my website, which is bedford-tech.com.
Okay.
You'll see more about Tesla there, but also about what he knew about vibration of water and about the importance of alive, living water for our well-being.
Okay, great. Nobody's talked about Victor Schauberger. I'm surprised.
Victor Schauberger is the forefather of implosion. Yeah, he studied the way water moves in nature and how it re-enlivens itself, how it can sustain its own life force. So by vortexing water, water naturally returns to its healing, has its healing properties and health-giving properties as well. Yeah, of course.
So do you agree with...
Victor Schauberger, another fascinating gentleman.
Yes, indeed. Do you agree with MJ and Melanie that the power of the spirit of the mind and the energizing of the water can neutralize the toxins that are in the water?
Well, when something's physically there, it won't move, but we can change the way it moves through our body. So, yes, I agree, of course. But also, if you can change the ionic spin or the structure of the water, it allows the toxins to flow through us and out of us rather than being rather than having the residue sitting in our kidney or our liver or even our spleen. Yeah, I mean, aluminium sulfide is put in water to make it look much brighter, but that's been linked to Alzheimer's, because the aluminium is deposited in the brain.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So it's quite frightening stuff.
Why can't we just leave nature alone for just a minute?
Exactly. Well, you know, it's been raped. Water's been raped by the planet and by industry. And it gets put back into the water table. But that water still takes many, 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 many years to return to its former self.
Indeed.
And we don't have many, many years. We're taking water every day.
We don't have many, many years. But we've got to turn it around now.
Yeah, I think also because water, when it's lifeless, has a majority of positive ion, and we have to return it to a majority of negative ions, and that indeed in itself will revitalize us.
Indeed. MJ, what do you say to the situation not that I mean to be a killjoy here, but I do look for your opinion and Melanie's as well, to the situation of the radiation that's dumping into the Pacific Ocean from the Japan incident? What is the forecast and your opinion of what this is going to do to the ocean water? I mean, obvious answer is it's not good, but how do you see this being neutralized and healed?
that's a hard question to answer because it's been so devastating. And I think one of the first things Melanie picked up, you know, with the radiation release over there in the Japanese islands, was the death of that part of the ocean immediately. But you, Mother Earth is so resourceful, and Father Sun is so resourceful that actually together they're already making some differences in neutralizing that radiation that's there. And if we could consciously join, like I mentioned before, as a global community on a regular basis, sending our energy to the water to support Mother Earth in her healing, because she really is the only one. I mean, there isn't anything we can do physically, but what we can do on a higher level is much more powerful anyway. And that's what we are stepping up to as a global community anyway. That's what we want to do. So we say, yes, there is something to do. Yes, it's horrible. And we are going to save the oceans. We are.
We are indeed. You know, it's so refreshing for me to hear that strength of conviction coming from you, because many people are losing their, I don't want to say losing their hope, but they're beginning to feel that the imbalance is so out of control that perhaps, and I stop people and say, the light will prevail. The spirit and the intention determines matter. And trust the sun and trust this planet. They know what they're doing. Despite all these 7 billion units of disorganized, well, not all of us are, but certainly a lot of destructive human activity, the Earth knows what to do.
She does. She's a very, very smart planet. She knows what she's doing. I've been noticing the weather patterns in the United States. There's always a lot of storms built in the Gulf Coast, in the Gulf, down there in the Gulf of Mexico, and there isn't anything happening very much with the weather. And it's either, you know, man-made to protect the oil field down there, or it's Mother Earth herself because of the huge, terrible problem with the oil that we don't know if that's finished or not. So as a result, Texas and all the Gulf Coast states there, they're drying up. There's the most horrible drought that there's ever been, and the weather has totally changed across the United States. And I've been watching this, and I go, it's either Mother Earth and her intelligence, because that place is so messed up right now with all the flooding and all of the, there's a lot of dead zone now because it's just all these toxins down into the Gulf, and then with the oil spill and all of that happened there, the weather has totally changed, and I see no storms building in the Gulf very often, and that is very unusual.
Yeah, in fact, there's been a lot of report of the Gulf Stream dying, and I have thrown out the question, isn't it interesting that after the Gulf Stream incident, the Gulf Stream has slowed down, and is this the Earth's way of protecting so much more of the planet from receiving all that toxicity?
Mm-hmm.
I spend a lot of time in the Azores Islands, which is fed by the Gulf Stream. And unquestionably, the people on the island are noticing the weather patterns have changed. So come on, Mother Earth, help us out. Help us humans figure out what to do as we bring the Earth back into balance. People, we are already out of time. I would like to close with an appeal to you from MJ and Melanie, and I'm sure Rowan agrees, that as we've been shown by Emoto, prayer, meditation, higher thoughts, believing, trusting, knowing that we are highly conscious beings, that we are not disempowered, that we can affect change, we do it every moment in our lives, and that we start with our own being, affecting change in our own sacred waters of our being, eliminating the negative thought patterns and replacing them with trust and thoughts of perfection and crystalline truth, and send that out around the planet, send it into the oceans, talk to the water, please help the cetaceans, and trust that you came here. This is how I'm going to close the show. You came here knowing exactly why you did. You came here to contribute. So get to work and trust your soul. You know where you were when you were coming in, and you know when you're going out. And in the meantime, use that beauty and wisdom within you to make it a better world. Thank you, MJ. And Melanie, your website again is dancingwithwater.com. Please read their book. It's really beautiful, very poetic. And thank you, Rohan. I'm sorry we had to tune out, but eventually we got your wisdom
with us.
Thank you for joining us.
Not to worry, everybody.
This is Patricia Corey. Thank you for tuning in. Don't forget, I'm in every other week now, so I won't be with you next Saturday. But the Saturday after that, I'll be back with you on Beyond the Matrix, the radio program that dares you to think outside the box of convention. And if ever you needed to do that, the time is upon you. That's it. Bye-bye. Nanu, nanu. This is Patricia signing out.